from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo discussed four issues when meeting President MBZ in Abu Dhabi. President Joko Widodo's visit to Abu Dhabi results in 8 agreements. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo, during his state visit to the United Arab Emirates, held a bilateral meeting with President Mohammed bin Zayed, or MBZ, Al Nahyan at Qasr Al Watan, Abu Dhabi, on Wednesday. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo raised four main issues, namely trade cooperation, strategic investment cooperation, clean energy and climate cooperation, and socio-cultural cooperation. Regarding trade cooperation, President Joko Widodo expressed his excitement over the competitions of the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA.
Alhamdulillah, perundingan CEPA telah selesai dan Uni Emirat Arab adalah
Alhamdulillah, the negotiation of CEPA has been completed and the United Arab Emirates is the first Middle Eastern country to have CEPA cooperation with Indonesia. I also welcome the payment system cooperation between the Central Bank of Indonesia and Central Bank of the United Arab Emirates, as well as cooperation in the construction of LPD, landing platform dock ships, for the United Arab Emirates Navy by PT PAL Indonesia. I am sure all of this will provide positive benefits for trade of both countries.
Perdagangan kedua negara.
Moreover, related to strategic investment cooperation, the President conveyed that the United Arab Emirates' investment in Indonesia is getting stronger, and one of Indonesia's current focuses is the construction of the new capital city Nusantara and downstream industries. President Joko Widodo also pointed out climate and clean energy cooperation. He appreciated the investment support for 145 megawatts of floating solar power plants in Cirata, which will be developed to 500 megawatts. Regarding socio-cultural cooperation, the President welcomed the Zayed Award for Human Fraternity 2024 for Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah to support tolerance and moderation of Islam. Meanwhile, President Mohammed bin Zayed appreciated the increasing volume of non-oil and gas trade between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates during the leadership of President Joko Widodo. According to President MBZ, this reflects the magnitude of development that occurred in relations between the two countries during this period. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo invited President Mohammed bin Zayed to visit Indonesia in September. Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid a state visit to the United Arab Emirates. During the visit, he held a bilateral meeting with President of the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, at Al Watan Palace, Abu Dhabi, on Wednesday. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in a press statement in Abu Dhabi on Wednesday, pointed out that on the sidelines of the bilateral meeting, both leaders also witnessed the announcement of 8 memorandums of understanding. The first is MOU between the Ministry of SOEs, Indonesian State-Owned Enterprises, and Eagle Hills related to tourism and air transportation. The second is MOU between the Nusantara Capital Authority and Dubai International Financial Center Authority related to the establishment of a financial center in IKN. The third is MOU between BRIN, Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, and Emirates Nuclear Energy INEC, related to nuclear energy. The MOU between Bank Indonesia and UAECB, or Central Bank of the United Arab Emirates, is related to payment systems. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed that other memorandum of understanding are between the Ministry of Finance of Indonesia and the Ministry of Finance of the United Arab Emirates related to the public financial management. Then, there is a cooperation agreement related to technology transfer of maritime patrol aircraft and anti-submarine aircraft. Besides, there is MOU between Masdar and PT Indonesia Comnets Plus for assessment and joint study of solar roof installation in Indonesia. MOU between the Mohammed bin Zayed Species Conservation Fund of the United Kingdom or United Arab Emirates with the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment related to the construction of the Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed International Mangrove Research Center and Joko Widodo in Bali, Indonesia. Minister Retno Marsudi further said during the state visit, President Joko Widodo also received the honorary order of Zayed from the President of the United Arab Emirates. The Order of Zayed is the highest civilian award from the United Arab Emirates for world leaders. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Hadi Cahyanto underlined that the bill amending the law on the Indonesian National Armed Forces TNI will help the state institutions strengthen national defense. Minister Hadi viewed in Jakarta on Wednesday that the law on TNI has been operated for 20 years and they must adjust it to current needs, among others, the threats that are now real. He also pointed out that TNI faces the potential threat of physical attacks from other countries or groups, cyber attacks, biological attacks, and various influences from other nations that can result in social gaps. The Health Ministry must consistently pursue better internet access and quality in Indonesia's remote areas to ensure good access to non-transmissible disease screening through ASIC for promotive and preventive measures. In a statement received on Wednesday, the Ministry's Chief of Technology Transformation Office, or TTO, Satyaji, explained that My Healthy Indonesia application, or ASIC, allows users to record health service details by name and by address, which also covers integrated health service reach. Currently, at least more than 10,000 public health centers are utilizing ASIC to record individual health data, including non-transmissible disease status, and inform patients through WhatsApp notification. The elimination of majors at high schools is a part of the Merdeka curriculum implementation. This was reported by the Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry on Wednesday. Head of the Ministry of Standards Curriculum and Assessment Agency, Anindito Aditomo, pointed out that the elimination of majors is aimed at making what students learn in schools more relevant to their study plans later. According to him, in the 2022 academic year, around 50% of educational units implemented the Merdeka curriculum. In 2024, the implementation has reached 90% to 95% at elementary, junior high, and high school or vocational school levels. The Presidential Secretariat in a statement stated that First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo launched the 2024 National Creative Gymnastic Contest in Jakarta on Wednesday. This is the third annual National Creative Gymnastic Contest held in collaboration with the Onward Indonesian Cabinet Era Solidarity Actions Organization, OASA KIM, the Indonesian Women's Sports Association Perwosi, and the Ministry of Youth and Sports. The competition is for the First Lady Cup. Perwosi Chairwoman Tri Tito Karnavian said that this year's contest was participated by 46 teams from 34 provinces. All the participants have undergone selection process in their provinces. Let's move on to the international news, where President Joe Biden tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday, disrupting a key campaign event meant to shore up support with Latino voters at a critical juncture in the election. As reported by CNN.com, Biden, an 81-year-old man, was experiencing mild symptoms and has received his first dose of the antiviral drug Paxlovid, according to his doctor. He said that he felt good, he was fully vaccinated and boosted, flashing a thumbs up before boarding Air Force One to head to his Delaware residence. The president will self-isolate there in line with U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's guidance. Hamas and at least four other Palestinian armed groups committed numerous war crimes and crimes against humanity against civilians during the 7 October attack on southern Israel, the campaign group Human Rights Watch says. As quoted by BBC.com, a new report accuses the hundreds of gunmen who breached the Gaza border fence of violations, including deliberate and indiscriminate attacks on civilians, willful killing of persons in custody, sexual and gender-based violence, hostage taking, mutilations of bodies and looting. It also found the killing of civilians and hostage taking were central aims of the planned attack and not an afterthought. Hamas angrily rejected what it called HRW's lies and demanded an apology. The Philippines and China have agreed to set up new lines of communication to improve their handling of maritime dispute as ties soar over clashes about territory in the South China Sea, although there are conflicting reports on whether these go as high as a direct hotline between the country's presidential offices. As reported by CNA.com, three communication channels will be established specifically for maritime issues. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner.
Consul General of Davao City Agus Renggono opened a series of activities themed improving the quality of nationality, insight and population administration and children of Indonesian descendants in Mindanao. On that occasion, Renggono said that the Indonesian community in Mindanao, the Philippines, especially children, deserve access to quality education so that they grow into responsible and knowledgeable citizens. He also viewed that this is the duty of the government to ensure that they receive the best educational opportunities. This activity is an initiative of the Consulate General in Davao City and was held a back-to-back way in four areas of Davao. They are Pagang, Lainsasi, Tupi, and Balunto, General Santos City from July 10 to 12, 2024. Consul General Agus Renggono also emphasized the importance of providing quality education to Indonesian citizens living in Mindanao. In his speech, he emphasized the important role of education in shaping the future of the younger generation and strengthening their sense of nationhood. In addition, the importance of the Indonesian Basic Knowledge course in the Indonesian enclaves in Mindanao was explained to motivate people of Indonesian descent, provide opportunities to get to know Indonesia better, and learn the Indonesian language. This activity also opens opportunities for children of Indonesian descent in these pockets of Indonesian citizens to enter the Indonesian school Davao. On the occasion, some alumni of the Indonesian school Davao gave testimonies about life in Davao City. They shared the positive experiences and benefits they gained while studying at the school, which has helped them in their academic achievements and character development. At the end of the event, it was announced that the Consul General in Davao City will facilitate the pickup of new and old students at two points, namely Lainsasi and General Santos City on July 13, 2024. This initiative is part of the Consul General's ongoing efforts to support capacity building, to foster and to enhance the national insight of the Indonesian community in the accredited areas.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history with an event from 18th July 1974 when National Housing Construction was established. The National Housing Construction is a state-owned enterprise in the form of a public company whose entire shares are owned by the government. The company was established as the Indonesian government's solution in providing decent housing for the lower middle class. Since its establishment, the construction has always appeared and played a pioneering role in providing housing and settlements for the lower middle income community. As a pioneer of urban development, the construction has successfully carried out the government's mission in realizing equitable development to remote areas. We move to the next event in 1976 when Nadia Comăneci, a gymnast from Romania, made history at the Summer Olympics in Montreal, Canada. Nadia, who was just 14 years old, became the first gymnast to achieve a perfect score of 10 in an Olympic event. Before competing at the Montreal Olympics that same year, Nadia won the America's Cup in New York City. She became the first woman to perform a backward double somersault as a dismount from the uneven parallel bars. We end with an event on commemoration of World Listening Day. World Listening Day is celebrated every July 18th. The commemoration is a form of global effort to try to talk less but listen more. World Listening Day is commemorated in honor of Raymond Murray Scaffer, who was born on July 18, 1933, and Raymond Murray Scaffer is a Canadian composer and environmentalist who is seen as the founder of acoustic ecology. Acoustic ecology promotes an understanding of the relationship between humans and their environment, especially as it relates to sound. The commemoration of World Listening Day was established to bring awareness to the importance of the value of listening. It is a day to realize a worldwide focus on improving listening skills and preserving critical soundscapes. In addition, to teach people not only to see, taste, and smell, but also to listen with all their senses. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hidung minimalis, tapi senyumnya manis. Berat badan naik, tak perlu khawatir. Perut tambah buncit, cabi minta dicubit. Dengarlah lagu ini, kau istimewa di hati.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Environment and Forestry Ministry verdict for MT Arman 114, a lesson for foreign vessels. The Law Enforcement Directorate General of the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Rasio Rido Sani, on Friday said that the verdict for the captain of a vessel that polluted the sea was a lesson for foreign vessels not to pollute Indonesian waters. In a statement, Rido Sani appreciated the Batam District Court that sentenced a 7-year prison and 5 billion rupiah fine to Mahmud Mohamed Abdul Aziz Atiba, an Egyptian national and the captain of the Iran flag tanker MT Arman 114, which spilled oil in North Natuna Sea. The court also held the MT Arman 114 as well as its 166,975 metric tons of crude oil, which was confiscated for the country. Rasio Rido Sani also pointed out the case began from the Maritime Security Agency, or Bakamla, who saw an alleged illicit oil transfer between MT Arman 114 and MT Tinas based on a pipe connecting the two ships and an oil spill in North Natuna Sea, Riau Islands. Then the agency took a sample of contaminated water, and based on a lab test, the evidence indicated crime according to the Law and Environment Protection and Management. The Law Enforcement Director General of the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Rasio Rido Sani, added that it was not the first verdict given to the foreign national of a foreign vessel for polluting Indonesian waters. Earlier in 2022, the captain of the Belis flag vessel was imprisoned for carrying toxic waste into Indonesian territory, while in 2021, a Panama flag ship captain and a China national were sentenced to prison for similar reasons. On the occasion, Rasio Rido Sani again appreciated the Batam District Court, General Attorney, and the Maritime Security Agency in playing respective roles in bringing justice to polluters. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sebentar saja ku ingin cerita tentang dia yang teristimewa. Kadang lucu, kadang menyebalkan ya. Oh, tapi aku suka. Dia tak pandai merangkai kata-kata. Romantisnya pun seadanya. Tapi aku bingung entah kenapa. Oh, nyaman di dekatnya. Aku suka sama kamu. Aku aman di dekatmu. Aku nyaman bersamamu. Aku senang punya kamu. Dia tak pandai merangkai kata-kata. Romantisnya pun seadanya. Tapi aku bingung entah kenapa. Oh, nyaman di dekatnya. Aku suka sama kamu. Aku aman di dekatmu. Aku nyaman bersamamu.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Patak Banteng Tourism Village in Wonosobo Regency's Central Java is a favorite destination for tourists, especially climbers. One of its main attractions is Mount Prau, which presents the charm of one of the best sunrises in Southeast Asia, the Milky Way, and a splendid sunset. The tourism village is in the Dieng Plateau area, Wonosobo Regency's Central Java. From the city of Semarang, Central Java, Patak Banteng Tourist Village can be reached about 4 hours by car. If you are visiting the Patak Banteng Tourism Village, you will immediately be greeted by the cool air. No wonder, because the village is around 2,000 meters above sea level. Patak Banteng Tourist Village offers attractions such as touring the village and other attractions in the Dieng Plateau using adventure jeeps. you can also carry out gardening and livestock activities ranging from goat farming to the best potato plantation in Indonesia, as well as cabbage, carrot, dieng chili, and karika or Mount Papaya plantation, which can be processed into local specialties. Batak Banteng Tourism Village is also supplemented with the Baritan Terangbulan cultural activity routinely held on the 10th night of Suro month in the Japanese calendar. You can get a chance to feel like a local community and interact with others. Craftsmen in Batak Banteng produce various kinds of handicrafts such as woven bags, bamboo house decorations, and wood carvings. You can buy it as a souvenir. Don't forget to taste the typical culinary delights of Batak Banteng Village once you're done exploring and shopping for souvenirs. Tempe Mendoan, or flour-coated tempeh fried with much hot oil quickly so the cooking is not properly completed. Chombro, or snack made with grated cassava, which is shaped round or oval and filled with oncom or the chili sauce and then fried. Geplak, or snack made from grated coconut mixtures mixed with sugar and vanilla. And mee ongklok, or noodles boiled with cabbage, chopped chives, and a thick starchy sauce are some of the must-try dishes.
Baik saja ada masanya kita.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Makassar International Aid Festival and Forum, F8 Makassar, which is one of the leading tourism and creative economy events in Makassar City, will be held again on July 24 to 28, 2024 at Anjungan Pantai Losari, Makassar with the theme Unity. The Unity theme is a continuation of the previous year's theme, the Next Gen Treasure, which explains that the various languages, cultures, and differences owned by various ethnic groups have been united at F8 Makassar. F8 Makassar was initiated by artists and cultural experts together with the Makassar City Government in 2015, who wanted to change and strengthen the image of Makassar City through cultural channels. This event then officially ran in 2016 and was then included in the wonderful event and is now included in the top 10 Charisma Event Nusantara. In its journey until now, F8 Makassar has proven to be able to raise the image and brand awareness of Makassar City in the tourism sector. Last year, 471,000 people were recorded during the 5-day event, and this year's target is between 500,000 and 600,000. Last year's transaction was 27 billion rupiah. This year, all sectors in F8 are expected to reach the target of 30 billion rupiah. President Director of PT Festival 8 Indonesia, Sofian Setiawan, explained that there are a number of innovations which are presented in the organization of F8 Makassar this year. One of them is that on the second day of the event, there will be treats that really reflect the city of Makassar in 5 stage zones. The treats will reflect all creative industries, ranging from music, film, fashion, folks, and others who will perform simultaneously on the stage that has been prepared. This year, F8 Makassar will also digitize the works of creative actors from the film and fusion music subsectors. By facilitating the registration of intellectual property rights and incorporating them into the prepared platform. As before, F8 also provides a special stage for students in Makassar to perform. This year, 1,000 dancers will give their best performances at the opening and closing of F8. At the opening, they will perform a colossal dance called Harmony of the Archipelago. The dance depicts the diversity of Indonesia, although different but still in a harmonious unity. While at the closing, they will dance Bunga Rampai Makassar. This dance is an expression of the daily life of the community in building a good Makassar for all. That's Miscellany.
What can I do will I be getting through? Now that I must try to leave it all behind. Did you see what you have done to me? So hard to justify. Slowly it's passing by. Forever and one, I will miss you. However I kiss you yet again, weighing down in Neverland. So hard I was trying. Tomorrow I'll still be crying. How could you hide your lies, your lies? Here I am, seeing you once again. My mind so far away, my heart so close to stay. Back in tonight, will I ever find someone to believe? Forever and one, I will miss you. However I kiss you yet again, way down in Neverland. So
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we're gonna play a song by Java Jive. Java Jive, a musical group from Bandung, was founded in 1989 by Muhammad Nurwana, aka Noi, and Edwin Saleh. After replacing its member finally in 1991, Java Jive's official member were Fatur as vocal, Dennis Prit as vocal, and Capung as guitar, Noe as bassist, and Tony as keyboard, and also Edwin Saleh as drum. Java Jive's appearance brought a certain brilliance into Indonesia's music industry. Java Jive's debut study album titled Java Jive 1 was released in 1993. The main hits in the album were Kau Yang Terindah, or You Are the Prettiest. This song was about a couple of lovers who were separated by distance and time, and they were missing each other. every second they always imagine a beautiful day when they finally meet. Listener, here is Kau Yang Terindah by Java Jive.
Jarak waktu, aku sini merindukan bayangmu. Mungkin kita harus bisa menahan gejolak, tapi kita manusia yang punya dalam jalinan
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.